Okay. You want it? Oh, we're doing it again.
We're doing it again.
Yeah. Flip it blue.
I have a 50 milliliter lens, so that's why I'm having a move like this.
You don't know.
I was going to say, makeup. I actually did think of a question for you.
I want to make sure I understand correctly first, though, because you were saying between the idea of like an income tax or a sales tax,
right,
institute a sales tax, you're going to have to hire all these people,
right,
next year and all that. So I kind of, previously what I used to do as far as work, because I work with people on home assistance. Once again, I kind of embarrass that I know a lot about economics. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, if we introduce an income tax, is that going to hurt the folks that I used to be with, who are already super low income? They're working a job and they still have to have public assistance. And I mean, how does an income tax affect them?
Well, the income tax is always progressive.
Okay.
So you think about that. There might be a minimum amount that people may be forced to pay for income tax for, like, schools. It says, hey, everybody's got to contribute $100 and you do this, or $10 a week. Whatever you want to do. But for the most part, it's always progressive. So it ties into the federal. So if you're below the poverty line, you just don't fall in that category. The whole idea of attaching it to the federal system is makes it progressive right there. And that makes it fair. A sales tax is the most regressive. Because, you know, if I make $20,000 a year and I got a family of three kids, I'm spending $10,000,
right,
on something taxable.
Because that, you know, good, they don't adjust the price
category
of it.
And if I'm making, you know, if I'm lucky enough to have a $10 million thing, then nothing with sales tax. And you could do like what you call it did with Trump. He would buy his stuff from a state without sales tax and then lease it to the business that's doing business where he's at. So you can bypass the sales tax either. So I know that Begich has talked about a seasonal sales tax to pick it up with tourism. Which is okay if the sales tax is not statewide. If it's statewide, you got to still audit the Poskiak, west of Bethel. You still have to audit all these places, and you still have to collect it, and they've got to have a system. So if you went with something like Southeast has a tax on cruise ships, that's purely choice. If you do come up here, you got a hotel motel tax, okay? That's really focused on tourist type thing, and it's limited places. You don't have a hotel in the Poskiak. I had to bring a sleeping bag and slept on the floor in the school.
Right.
So I can tell you they don't have it there. I can promise you. And you had to bring your own little packages of top ramen or something else, so you blend it in. So along those lines. So that's not going to do it. But a sales tax is the most regressive. An income tax is progressive. So from a fairness standpoint, I like it. But if I sell it that way, I'm selling it to people that would lose under a sales tax. I'm better off selling them on something that they agree on. They don't want to make state government bigger. And I had one person just came up here from California. We went through all this discussion. I brought her up to speed on everything. She's Republican from California. I didn't know who was living there because she just moved in. And she said, well, and we talked about what he wanted to do, and that is no increase in revenue, no this, and cut. And he said, well, you sound more like a Republican, you know. But it's the way I'm presenting it, not necessarily the issue. I'm promoting, you know, most of the people are pro-education. Republican or Democrat, most of the people voting are not anti-education. They are skewed against a progressive tax a little bit, and they are definitely out there on some of the doors that you go to, some of them are pro-choice, pro-life. But I only had three people raise a question. I had two, and all three were pro-choice.
I donated.
You're having fun?
I had a
You're going to wave signs too?
Oh, heavens no. I'm going to go home and go to bed.
Not tonight.
Oh, yeah, any night I go home and go to bed. Early, 7:30, that's the best time.
What time do you go to work?
I get up at 5:30.
Okay, what time do you go to work?
I actually have to be there by 7.
Oh, okay. Well, then you have to use PTO, huh?
I have no idea what PTO is.
Oh.
Personal time.
Leave time.
No, I don't have to use that either. I'm saving that, okay?
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd ask.
Bye.
But if we coach the problem right, we're going to find out we actually have agreement more than what we don't think. If we get away from the size of the state budget, which is incomparable to, you know, people can't understand that. A big government, you can always, it's always waste. It's always big thing, there's always waste. Go, let's look at schools now. Let's look at public safety with number of troopers. Let's talk about the courthouse. Let's talk about corrections. Let's talk about API. Let's talk about this road street maintenance. You know, when I was on the school board, we had the bonds for better maintain things. And the issue was, well, how come we always have this much money? You know, $50 million of bonds. And I tell them, well, two things. One, we're paying off $50 million, so we're not adding anything new. But I would say, look, we're running it like a business, which everybody wants us to do, and I think it's smart. We have $2 billion worth of property. $2 billion worth, that's a lot of property. Of those, you always got roofs that have to be replaced. Unlike your home, where you don't have to upgrade to keep up with code, schools have no choice but to maintain code. So we have, and hospitals are the same thing, and I used to be in charge of facilities for hospital and residential treatment centers. And I can tell you that what we're talking about now is what? 5% is, I mean, not 5%, but $2 billion, 10% would be $200 million. And so that would be 10, so 5 would be $100 million. So 50 million is 2.5%, something like that. But that's the formula that private businesses use for investment in to maintain their facilities. We're following business model. We are handling ourselves in the same manner. And they said, well, how come you don't put it into your budget? I said, businesses don't put a new roof in their budget. They expense it out over a period of time of 20 years. They don't do it that way. They build a new building. They're going to capitalize it over a period of time. And that's what they do, too. So we're following what business's best practice is. And that's without any new schools or anything else, is $50 million a year. And so when I got on the school board, they were always focused on fixing up the worst school. You know what? Every school was trying to be the worst school so they could be picked up and built over again, okay? It was the craziest piece of shit you've ever seen. I'm serious, okay? Because if you had a bad roof and then you had bad electrical and bad plumbing and bad heating, then you can get your house, school totally rebuilt and all the others can still stay in line. Well, that's crazy. Well, I went to the school, I'm trying to think of Turnigan, and the school there, and the roofs were leaking down and the carpet was wet, and you know that mold is falling behind there. It's a disaster. But it wasn't on a high enough priority yet.
Wow.
You know what? We changed it. And at one point there, they were going to just, they asked me if I wanted to go just with a big bond to fix all the roofs. I said, no, I want a bond that basically says we're maintaining all the schools so we don't fix all the roofs today and then do it and not do it again for 5 years. We do it every year. Okay? And that's what they do today. They have a $50 million bond that's focused on maintenance of all the facilities, and the public got behind it this time with 60%. We were lucky to get 51 or 52% before. 60%. And because it covers all the schools in the district, it isn't like, well, I don't want to help Eagle River. It's not my school. So they all have something and a benefit. But we're going to a business model. The same thing applies to the state budget. There's a business model. You know, I compared, when I was head of audit committee for the school district, and I was pretty big on that kind of stuff, I like comparisons, okay? Are you familiar with Myers-Briggs? I'm a 65T. And that's where they stop measuring it. So Spock and I have the same number T, okay? I like logical decisions, not emotional. Okay, I'm overboard. Makes a difference on how I have to eat, too. I can't. It impacts anything. But it doesn't matter. But I like that. I like logical decisions that make sense and go forward with it. And so the idea of the way we were running, it was crazy. Well, the audits, I would do comparisons to other hot big school districts. And we had a report, and it showed that we were very expensive in purchasing. And I said, this is crazy. And maintenance as well, and some other areas, custodial and all that. I got focused on the school district, on the purchasing. I said, we don't have a P-card. We don't have this. We have to monitor. We have to go out for bids on three things when you buy a $20 book. This is nuts. We're saving $500,000 a year right now on the way purchasing is running, and we've done that for the last 7 years because of what I did. That makes sense. That's $500,000. That's five more teachers in a classroom, or six or seven more teachers, depending upon the thing, that's in the schools. That was worth it. You know, I mean, we have to do everything we can, and we did it. You know, I like that approach. The custodial came down over $1 million. So there you got another 10, 11, 12 teachers. So we've taken it, we've lowered classroom size in first grade, maybe by a kid. Or a couple kids, you know. I mean, if everything helps,
yeah,
in line with that. And of course, we got graduation rates from low 60 to over 80%.
That I wasn't aware of.
Oh, yeah, we went from low 60, that was my big push, was low 60 over 80%. And I'll tell you the story I've told some other people. When I got on the school board, I ran with the idea that if we don't do anything, 4 out of 10 kids won't graduate, because that's what we were doing all that. Well, when I got on there, the first month I was there, I was invited to some school. We got 30 kids, came out to be precisely 30 kids up on a stage doing this little performance, and I watched it. Third grade, and I said, if I'm on a school board 9 years, right now, 12 of those kids won't graduate. I said, and I looked at them, and I tried to figure out which one of those kids are most likely not to graduate. I didn't like doing that, but I did it. Well, when I graduated, those, it's not 12, it's 5. I feel great about what I do, and I don't mind.
Okay, I'm from District 28.
Uh-huh.
I'm here to ensure that none of these crazies spill over into our district, because we have our own crazies. I love your kick-butt approach, and bless you. And
thank you.
Thank you so much for all of your years.
You know,
you guys are awesome.
It's been a long campaign season when you walked at 6,500 to 7,000 doors.
Oh, I know. We're doing that 28.
Oh, but and what makes it really tough is when you walk and nobody's there, and you walk the 7 doors out of 10, nobody's there. Right? I mean, that's typical.
We started writing notes on the cards.
We did too.
Yeah. I have a daughter.
Sorry I missed you, Pat. Please call me.
Yes.
No, I don't know.
Yes.
Right. I did that.
Yeah.
But it's still, you only get a 30% of
However,
that.
However, in our district, there we go, especially up at the top, they go, nobody ever comes here. I'm voting for her because she came to my house. And and then we have the people that go, I would vote for a post over Jennifer Johnson.
Well,
and some will vote for a rock and stuff, but
yeah, I walk away from 90% of them where they have moved from a 3 to a 2 or higher, and
people,
so
none of those
very
guys
effective.
Go. They don't go door to door.
But we handed out hundreds of absentee ballots. Hundreds.
Wow.
We registered people at the door to vote.
Wow.
And you know, when you fill out an absentee ballot, you do get registered.
That's,
by the way, you don't have to have a registrar of voters. Trish is, but you don't have to.
That's
all they have to do is fill out
you
fill out an absentee ballot.
Okay.
If they want registered to vote, that registers them,
yeah,
and they verify that they're eligible.
Yeah.
We don't have to, and they'll register. So we did. I didn't need to have registrar of voters doing that, and the state will do it for me.
Wow. How are your volunteer numbers? We have so many people that are working for the big ones, and then
we've had an awful time with volunteers.
Okay,
it's been pathetic. I'm gonna tell you, it's absolutely pathetic. And you know, I've got the guy I'm running against, Josh. He's got this independent expenditure, Josh Reback. He's an idiot.
Oh, that's awesome.
But he's out there, and he has, you know, people out there waving signs with him who's being paid for out of the independent expenditure of people to be there. And so you're getting all this type
that's
of
how
view.
Trump started with his pay.
You know, and so you know, and some he's getting some from veterans because he's a veteran. And he got some support from that. But for the most part,
talk to the unions, right?
Huh?
You've talked to the unions, right?
The unions all are backing me heavy. I mean, AFL-CIO.
Turn out people.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to have to talk to them. But AFL-CIO has done a $20,000 independent expenditure on my behalf.
Joel? Or?
The AFL-CIO is coming from Vince. And
oh,
so
okay,
there's a radio ad out there playing constantly on the radio,
awesome,
positive for me, that I had nothing to do with.
Wow.
I heard it the first time on the radio. I get a mail in.
I've heard it.
You've heard it? Oh, okay. It's pretty good, isn't
it? Yeah, it's good.
I get this mail in, and I say, oh, this is one I sent out, and I got two more attached to it, the Alaska Center and some other group. So they're all sending stuff out constantly. So I'm getting, I got virtually all the endorsements, okay? He didn't even get the realtors, and that's a strictly Republican group, because he didn't return their questionnaire. So I go in there, and I say, well, you know, and they introduce myself. So you ran against Charisse a couple years ago. I said, yeah. I said, we really like Charisse. Thank you very much. And they ask, where are you coming from? Well, we've cut so much. And then he gets, we haven't cut anything. It's $5.1 billion. What are you talking about? And do this. So anyway, 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. Pat, I want to let you know we've endorsed you. And that we're going to provide you some support. And I said, well, I appreciate this. And they said, well, no, we had some areas we don't agree, but I will tell you, we appreciate that you have a plan. You're really working it. You're doing great. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Is this a co-endorsement? Because I figured Johnson's got to get the endorsement too. And he said, no, he never returned the questionnaire.
See, they're just lazy slobs.
He didn't show up at KKM. He didn't show up at the chamber. He hasn't returned the questionnaires there. He doesn't do questionnaires because he basically, when he does, he has to give answers he didn't feel comfortable with. So that's what the constant thing is at. So he's running like Dunleavy, and that is the less he says, the better chance he's got, because he's just viewed as an alternative. He's viewed as a Republican. He's not viewed as somebody who wants to cut $1 billion out of the budget. But he's running it.
We really do.
He did one little flyer, though.
Answer questions and speaking old sentences.
You got to tell people.
He doesn't talk. He goes door to door a little bit. And I got to tell you, I love this 84-year-old woman. She lives on 80th. And I went up to her door, and she might be 4 foot. I don't think so. She might be 4 foot tall. I don't think so. I think so. And she said, yo, you got this. I said, well, Josh came by here. And I said, well, how did that go? And he said, how do you feel about Roe versus Wade? And he says, well, I don't know. I have to ask my wife about that because they're into that. And I said, are they going to Juneau to represent us? No, she's really. And he said, well, tell me how you feel about, what was the other one? It was funny.
Answer.
I can't remember. It was a similar type question. Oh, I know. He said, how do you feel about vouchers? And he said, well, that's really not a yes-no question. He said, yes, it is. I might be short, but I ain't stupid. You know, and I'm going, obviously, I got a sign in front of a house. But so it's really, you know, you got some pretty bright people out there asking some tough questions going, oh, this is, but he hasn't walked in many houses, you know, and but
probably
he's got people being paid to put flyers up at the door, though.
Yeah.
And you can't tell whether he walked to your door or not when you just got a flyer, because I left flyers at 70% of the doors I've walked to, you know, and that's okay. But it's kind of interesting the way it plays out. Did I answer your question?
You did, and I mean, kind of.
I didn't mean
to. No, but I mean, just kind of give me some insight. Like I was telling Janice earlier,
yeah,
kind of a political neophyte. This was kind of a friendly challenge.
So
it was like, hey,
you know,
become completely apathetic about the political process. Actually engage a little bit. Maybe continue. I can do that.
Yeah, last thing to do is if you're involved with a campaign, you want to help. My campaign, this campaign, anybody's campaign, is the Monday after the producer. Monday morning, but Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning of election, the 5th and 6th, is out there with lots of people waving signs. Because it's reminding people to vote, and it's reminding people that they have support out there. We've got four locations in this district that where people will drive through. They will drive through at Elmore, they'll drive through at Dowling, some will drive through at 68, and definitely Abbott and Lake Oaks.
You know, I mean, just talking to you briefly, I think I've gotten some idea kind of, you know, where you stand, and, you know, what you're, whether I agree with them, disagree with them, I kind of have an idea, okay, this one's not doing. So, once again, I kind of knew this. What do your opponents stand for? Because it sounds like you're saying he's kind of, you know.
Well, he's out there. You can go to the American Taxpayers Reform shit, and he says, I will not support any additional revenue. I will support nothing in regards to any new taxes. He's on the radio talking about the exorbitant cost of education needing to come down. He is all about we need to cut the state budget.
So is that his idea of how to grow things economically is to cut? I mean, you know, you're saying before, it's like, where are these cuts going
to
come from?
Well, you know, our district used to be pretty red, okay, at one point, this area. It also voted for Begich over Sullivan for Senate.
It was one of those.
It voted for Walker over Parnell for governor. This is not a red district anymore, first of all. But you run on the red district saying, you know, we don't need taxes, we don't need this, we don't need that. And at one time, that would be
enough. Well, what do we need then? That's my question. It's like, tell me, if we don't need that, what is it that we need?
He needs to cut because we've got too much waste, but he can't tell you where it's at. And he's following the lead of Dunleavy and Chris Birch. Chris Birch, when he met with the caucus, the legislators came back on the session and met with the public. And Chris Birch, who's a representative for the district south of us, who's running for the Senate seat in this area, his view was, and he said, until the school districts improve their academic outcomes and they outsource everything, he's not going to approve one more penny. So it's anti-employee and anti-public education. It's pro voucher for what they are. And that's what he's promoting. And this guy looks like he's taking the same material and he's just copying it. He is the good news about him, he's a vet who was injured in Iraq. And so he's a Purple Heart recipient. The bad news about his background, he's got two DUIs, he's got falsified information to get his fishing license, he falsified information about the number of fish he caught, and he gets some other violation out of that. And his wife got another DUI 4 years ago here in Anchorage. Most of his is grew up in Minnesota, and he admits he had a troubled youth. But the DUIs was when he's 28, and so it's not like a young kid type of thing. Two DUIs, I imagine, you can't decide to come to Alaska. So third DUI in the same state, you probably go to jail for a long time. But, you know, so there was a benefit. Came up here, immediately got a job with Young and Stevens. He belonged to a pretty right-wing church group, much like a pre-roll, maybe further to the right kind of issue. And do a youth connection, so he managed to get something left. But he got his full disability or some disability with the military to do it, so he's doing fine that way. And not doing anything else work-wise. But he's those are the positions that he's taken.
His
posters and all says cut, and we don't have a money problem, we have a leadership problem. And on the radio he talks, like I said, about exorbitant costs of education. That's his word. And you're right, to compare and contrast is a difficult work when you run against somebody that doesn't respond to questionnaires or information. But I tell you what you do. Have a little fun.
I know exactly what
tomorrow, why don't you all call
I better
him
not find it with my opponent.
And ask him a lot of questions about his position.
How
and record the answers and let me know. Because when he does it, he doesn't want to answer them door to door. Let's see what he does on the phone. But give him a call and say, I want to know how you stand on the budget. I understand the budget is
going
to be 2020. What do you propose we need to do? And if he says, well, we might need no extra revenues, and say, didn't you sign a pledge not to do additional revenues? And I'll give you the American taxpayers thing of, you know, reform or something. Or American taxpayers, Google it, and you'll probably see it. You Google it, you pull it up, you can go to the pledge, and you'll see who signed it. Okay, by state. And he's on there. But, give him a call, see what he has to say, and that would be interesting.
Curiosity.
I like that.
I might take you up.
Well, I encourage
you. I'll send an email. Yeah. I'll email you, yeah.
Yeah, I think getting him, you got to understand, he wouldn't even respond to the realtors that would automatically have to endorse him. Okay, and giving him a check for $500 immediately. He didn't respond. He refused to go to KAKM and do the TV interview. He did not go to Chamber of Commerce to answer their questions. He did not answer their question, did not complete the questionnaire. So he has, you would think the chamber would be somewhat friendly to the Red, right? Nope. He won't even respond. So he has avoided any contact with the Hope that because he's a Republican and people don't know him, he'll say, but I'm a veteran, that's it. Now he went, a guy who supports him is a guy named Vaughn Cummings, he's a millionaire. And he stopped at another person, Bud Cummings' house. The other guy, the bad guy, not bad. He's a nice guy, but he's just on the wrong side. But is Mel Gillis, and he met with him, and with Mel Gillis, and he went to Bud Cummings' house. And he said, "Well, I wanted to put a sign out for him. Wow, he got a big sign out for him. Not small." But he said, because he's a veteran. And so Bud's going, well, that means he knows how to salute, but what is he going to do when he gets in? Well, I don't know that much, but can I put a sign out? And Bud's going, well, I have to ask Pat. He said, yeah, I told Pat he can put signs out, so if you put a sign out, I know he's going to want to put a sign on both sides of your sign. Well, I mean, how about, so yeah, but he's going, he's got one sign at a very big supporter of mine. But he came by there after the windstorm. There was a tree down. He offered to help him because he lives in that area and cut it all up. And then he asked about a sign. She said, I couldn't turn it.
Thank you.
So he couldn't say no. So she couldn't say, you know. So right, she said, okay. But said, put your sign up. Just put it a little further away. I said, okay. So, and that's okay. I appreciate that. He's not a bad guy, Mel Gillis. The other guy, though, was a bully. He got up there and they had a report that somebody out there was a pedophile at one of the schools and there was a problem. And so then they found out it wasn't true, it wasn't a problem, and that was fine. And then, but he gets up on the post with this neighborhood type thing, little thing. Well, if somebody did that, I'd shoot him. I'd do this, I'd do that. I ain't messing with my kids, blah, blah, blah. And Charisse even responds and said, it's not true. And but he's off bullying his responses and trying to blow it all up. And so that's kind of the way he is a little bit. You know, he's got some kids that, you know, that seem to be nice kids, a couple of teenage, young teenage girls. They came to my house and said, can we put a sign out in front of your yard? Well, I said, no, you can't. Well, can't we just put one out there? I'm running against them. Yeah, okay, but can we put a sign out there? Okay, so they weren't too bright either. Okay, I'm going to say that. They're cute, but they're not bright. So they did that, and that was kind of interesting. So that's kind of the way it lays out a little bit. So I really would encourage you to call.
I'll send you an email with the information
that he gives you. But ask all the questions. Say, do you think that that we should cut public safety? Well, the areas we think we should improve, Keith talks about mental health or roads. Okay, well, if we need to cut $1 billion, are you going to have to cut more than $1 billion to put money back in that area or something? That's it. Just where can we cut it? And are you willing to do something about, you know, I heard that you talked about exorbitant schools of cost on the radio. And are you willing to cut public education and bring that cost down? Yeah. If you imply that you support it, you can be here, yeah. But I would love for y'all to do that. I would if I could pull this off, I was going to do it a treated one, but a lot of places where I would say, would you be willing to host a meet and greet where we invite both candidates and ask them both questions? That's what I would love to see. But he wouldn't show up, so it wouldn't do any good, so I couldn't pull it off. But I would love to
why don't you try it? And that way, if he doesn't show up.
Look, I'm probably head somewhat to close. It's close, but it's marginal. But I think I'm probably, just my gut feeling, as I ran 2 years ago, I feel like I'm doing better. But I'd be willing to take that risk and go out there one-on-one and debate every place. I think everybody deserves to know where I stand. I don't like the idea of Kevin Myers is the best person walking door-to-door. Well, what issues do you have? Uh-huh. And you walk away, and you think he agrees with everything, and he shared nothing. Well, we had this friend of ours. I said, why are you supporting Kevin? Well, he agreed. I'd say he didn't agree with that. He said, ask him. So he came back and they asked Kevin. I said, Kevin, do you support women's choice? No, I don't. Do you support more for this? Well, no. I said, why am I supporting you? I don't know. And the guy changed his mind, took the sign down, put up somebody else's. But he is so good at just listening that people respond.
They just fill in the blanks themselves.
And I can't shut up. So people know where I stand. Because I think you probably learned that already.
Indeed.
But you know what? I owe it to people to do that. And on the other hand, I may not think the PFD is the most important thing, but the public has a right to tell their employees what they want, and they have said they want the PFC. That's a good enough answer for me. And as far as Prop 1, I support their decision. I object to those that say the public shouldn't have a vote on that. I don't like that. The public should be able to vote on any proposition they want to do, because damn it, that's what democracy is all about, is to have the public ultimately be able to make those decisions if they want to. But we have these views, Republicans, Sharice led the thing to change it, make it more difficult to get a proposition through. But I think this is why you've got the public out there being able to vote and stuff. I'll bet you if they hadn't made the changes, it looks like maybe it could be, I know who it might be, but I'm not sure who it is. Ask who. She might be Trish. But, you know, it just frustrates me that somehow along this line they try to make it difficult to decide. I like freedom of speech. I don't care if they don't agree with me. And I definitely think the public ought to be in charge of the ballot box. And if they want to do it, they ought to do it. But it makes it difficult for me because the case in Alabama was interesting. When Moore was running with all that problems he had, and then you had McConnell saying, well, if he gets elected, we may not see them. Man, if the public knows he's a slime ball and elects him, you got to see them. I hate to put it that way, and I'm taking the opposite side of what I like, but that's the way it is. Otherwise, they can get rid of everybody they don't like.
Yeah, what are we doing?
That is not what democracy is about. So I haven't, like you said, my tea comes out, but the tea, are you familiar with Myers-Briggs? It's a personality profile, whether you're extroverted or introverted. I'm extroverted way out there. I'm the type that if I go to Maui, I hit Little Beach, New Beach. But the second one is whether you're big picture or detail. I'm big picture. But the third one is interesting, whether you like to make decisions based upon logic or how you feel good. So, you know, man and woman goes to buy a house, and the man's looking at it and say, you know, I said, we can resell this house if we want to. We can invest. We can do this. It's a good thing. And the woman looks at it and says, it's the wrong color. I don't want this house. The man says, well, we can paint it. Yeah, but it's the wrong color right now. So emotional, well, 80% of women are E's or feelers.
Right.
And 80% of men are the T's. Okay. Well, I'm an extreme T. 65 is where they stop counting, and that's where I'm at. So I make every decision I want to based upon logic. I don't make it on the emotional thing. I like to make it on logic. And then there's a P and J, whether you're a procrastinator or judgmental. You know, the P wants to wait.
Right.
And a J wants to just shoot. So I was more of a P, and now I'm right in the middle. Okay. But a P is somebody that waits for the plane lanes before you pack your clothes to go on a trip.
Right.
And a J has planned it out 6 months in advance. So, and at one time I was definitely more of a P because when I was in Sitka and flying to Juneau, I would.
I'll give you guys the polite nudge. We do need to make
our have to get out of here.
And once he gets your ear, he doesn't let go. So you go.
Well, you talk longer than I did up here. I felt bad about that.
There's no way I could have done that.
Well, you came close.
Yeah. You're the first.
That was upsetting.
Well, thank you so much.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Let me know. Definitely asked the questions. You know, when I was on school board for 9 years, I had almost no one ever call me. I mean, I had probably 10 or 12 phone calls total in 9 years where public was wanted to express something. And somebody said, well, if you want in the community, going to the store, they can't come up and talk to you either. And I said, that happened one time at Crossroads Store, I was buying steaks, and somebody said, oh, let's see the schoolboys buying steaks. And then after I told that story, this woman came up to me and Fred Myers and said, I have a question about school debt. And I said, oh, well, you know, this isn't the only second person to come up to me. And the first one was the cause. He said, yeah, how was the stakes? It was the same damn person. It was the same person. And that had me rolling, okay? And I'm not kidding. It was cracked me up. But it was somebody that apparently knew me already. Right. So, but, you know, I call people when they're elected. You're their boss. And nobody does it. I can tell you, if I win, I will walk door to door next year, because it's not an election year, but just to simply give them a report and find out what they think.
Smart.
But I just like that.
Extremely rare for somebody to do that.
Unless I take medications, and I'll be okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to use the restroom real quick.
Oh, sure.